The following sermon was delivered by Rabbi Joshua Davidson on Friday, May 9th, 2014.
Dear friends, this week's Torah portion, Parashat Bahar, Leviticus chapter 25, verse 1 through chapter 26, verse 2, issues a powerful call to collective responsibility for societies less fortunate. The laws of the sabbatical year, when the land is not to be harvested for personal gain, remind us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, that we are but tenants on it, here to protect it, yes, to enjoy its bounty, but also to share that bounty with those in need. The idealistic vision that every 50th year, called the Yovel or Jubilee, families, no matter how rich or how poor, should return to the land first allotted them when the tribe settled Canaan, warns us against allowing wealth to become increasingly concentrated in the hands of the few. Now, rabbis are not supposed to have favorite Torah portions. They're all wonderful. But in truth, Parashat Bahar is one of mine, because perhaps more than any other, this one raises the banner of social responsibility. There is some question, however, as to where, and by that I mean in what location, God imparts these instructions. A question whose answer yields a most beautiful insight. So let me ask you to recall where the book of Leviticus begins. At the end of the last book, Exodus, the Israelites have completed the building of their portable sanctuary, the tent of meeting, or tabernacle. Take a look at your service handout. On the side opposite the music program, you'll find at the top a few biblical and one rabbinic texts. Find the first one, Exodus chapter 40, verse 34, and follow with me. The cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the presence of Adonai filled the tabernacle. Then, without interruption, the book of Leviticus begins. Keep reading. Adonai called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting. So apparently Moses has descended Mount Sinai, and God is speaking to him in the tent of meeting. But now we come to the first verse of this week's portion. Look at Leviticus chapter 25, verses 1 and 2. Adonai spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai. Speak to the Israelite people and say to them, when you enter the land that I give you, the land shall observe a Sabbath of Adonai. Thinking about where the action is taking place, what's the question we're compelled to ask? Why, all of a sudden, are we back on Sinai? Now, of all such narrative inconsistencies, our tradition offers one simple, in Hebrew, pshat, answer. That the Torah is not written in chronological order, so these types of jumps are not things to get stuck on. But there's another answer I would like us to consider. That of our greatest Torah commentator, Rabbi Shlomo ben Yitzchak of 11th century France, also known as Rashi. Follow with me Rashi's comment on these verses. Though the express mention of Bahar Sinai on Mount Sinai appears to be unnecessary, Scripture intends it to teach that every divine command spoken to Moses, general rule and minute detail, originated at Sinai and was repeated and taught again in the plains of Moab. So what do we learn from Rashi? That the Torah specifies Bahar Sinai on Mount Sinai with regard to the giving of the laws of the sabbatical and jubilee years to remind us that all the commandments were given to us first at Sinai and then repeated in the plains of Moab. This repetition in the plains of Moab, east of the Jordan River, refers to the fact that the commandments are given again in the book of Deuteronomy as the Israelites are preparing to cross the river into Canaan. And why is that repetition important? Because the Israelites needed it desperately. It is one thing to accept the laws at Sinai, where, amidst the thunder of God's presence, rights and wrongs are crystal clear. It's entirely another to apply those precepts to one's own life or community. The gap between vision and reality can be difficult to bridge. We know this. There are moral truths in which we believe deeply, ideals that in our own, call them Sinai moments, are absolutely clear to us. But we don't live on the mountaintop. Down in the plains of our day-to-day existence, life is messy, complicated. Decisions are rarely clear-cut. When confronted with such dilemmas, be they personal about our families, or communal concerning poverty, or health care, or you name it, suddenly our moral clarity gets fogged over, and we stumble. But that can't be an excuse to set Sinai's vision aside. Just as the Israelites needed to understand that Torah's message was not for Sinai at all, but rather for the complexities of day-to-day living, so are we to understand that it is precisely for life's most challenging moments that the Torah was given, with its message of responsibility and fairness, compassion and hope. Our world does not always heed the ideals we were given on the mountaintop. Society's values too often come from passing fads, magazine ads, and really dumb reality television. Ours are enduring, and they come from Sinai.